ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाय ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाय मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी हु एम एंगेज्ड in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the Chandogya Upanishad, which belongs to the Samaveda. In our last class, we completed the sixth chapter, which is called Sadvidya chapter. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there are eight chapters, and first to fifth chapters are full of upasanas or preparatory steps, preliminary steps. Every upasana, as we discussed in both Chandogya and Taittiriya classes, is a gradual expansion of our identity and thereby losing our finiteness, limitedness, until we become one with the infinite, which is called Bhuma or Brahman. Now, according to Vedanta, Brahman is defined as Sat, Chit and Ananda. So, in this Chandogya Upanishad, the sixth chapter is called Sadvidya or dealing with the explanation of Sat. Sat means pure existence, and Sat, Chit and Ananda are not three separate qualities, but three ways of describing the same reality. In the seventh chapter, the discussion is all about Ananda, that is Brahmananda. But instead of saying Brahmananda, the name given here is Bhumananda. Bhuma means infinite, unlimited. And Brahman also means unlimited. And in the eighth chapter, it is Chit Vidya. That is to say, how knowledge is Brahman and that Brahman is our nature. And that is why it starts with Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Definition of Brahman at the beginning of the second chapter. So the rest is exposition of what is this Chit or what is called Jnanam. So, Satyam, Sat in the sixth chapter, Ananda, Anantam, both are same, is in the seventh chapter and Jnanam is in the eighth chapter. Slight variation. So, this is how it goes. Now, we have to enter into the seventh chapter. It is called Bhuma Vidya. The sixth is called Sat Vidya, Sad Vidya. Seventh is called Bhuma Vidya. Bhuma means it has got two meanings actually. So Bhuma means first meaning is Brahman, Brahma Vidya. And that is the first meaning. Second meaning is Bhuma means Anantam or supreme happiness, Anandam. And the conclusion according to reason is Na Alpe Sukham Asti. In the limited, there is no Sukha. It is all nothing but Dukkha. So one way of defining what is called Sukham is removal of Dukkham. Sukham is not defined in itself, but every Sukham, so supposing you are carrying a huge weight and you reach home and you unburden or keep that whatever you are carrying and then you sigh, a long sigh, oh, now I am relieved, whether you are walking, etc. Including when you have slept too long, you get tired up and so you wake up. So that is waking up from Dukkham of too much sleep to Sukham. Everything is limited. That limitation is called Dukkham. And everything other than Atman is completely limited. Bhuma eva Sukham. Bhuma eva Sukham. Bhuma, the limitless, alone is true happiness. So this chapter especially focuses on the last characteristic that is called Swarupa Lakshana, called Ananda, Brahmananda, here in called Bhumananda. So, what is the relationship between the 6th and 7th? It is related in this way. Sadvidya, or the knowledge of Supreme Reality as pure existence or pure being, has been elaborated in the 6th chapter called Sadvidya. So, therein it is established that all this perceived or conceived by every human being or any being is nothing but in reality pure being, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. But there are modifications which are the lower manifestations of that supreme reality that has to be described. So, the previous chapter that described Sadvidya, the present chapter proposes to show that by following the grades of reality, which is called lower reality. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, says this Prakruti is my lower nature, thereby bringing a harmony in the Sankhya system of philosophy, where Purusha and Prakruti are eternal principles, eternally existing principles, but diametrically opposite to each other. Purusha is consciousness, Prakruti is Jadam. There is a dichotomy. But by the time of Bhagavad Gita, the understanding capacity of human being has improved definitely, wherein the person realizes Prakruti is not a separate principle, but my own lower nature, lower manifestation. What does it imply? It implies that every sukha we obtain in this world is nothing but a reflected sukham of that Brahmananda only. Why do we call reflected? Because just as we can never see our face, but the only way we can see our face is to bring a mirror and look at the reflected face. So everything is reflected in this world through every object. This is a wonderful point we have to keep. So mithya is the word used. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. But many people misunderstand this word mithya as non-existence or opposite to Brahman. That is not true. Even Vedanta uses the word Aparavidya and Paravidya. Apara means Anatma, Anatma Vidya. So why is it called Mithya? Anything that is changing, anything that is dependent for its very existence on somebody cognizing it, that is called Mithya. It is not non-existent, but it is partial knowledge of Brahman, finite knowledge of infinite Brahman, or Brahman with nama and rupa, and that is called this world, Jagat. After all the three elements in Chandogya or five elements in the Taittiriya are only manifestations of Atman and nothing else. And what is it that every living being is striving for? Only for Ananda. What is Ananda? Here, something very wonderful has to be noted down. Ananda is my nature. But I think I have lost it. I think I am mistaking that I have lost it. Just like a person forgets who he is and assumes that he is somebody else. So I am not the Atman, I am somebody else. What is that somebody else? Anatma. Therefore, Atma is Brahmananda, but Anatma is Alpananda. Alpananda means same Brahmananda, but as if I am deriving it from an object. Here, in this seventh chapter, the knowledge is given to us. Whatever happiness, rather, let me put it this way, whatever existence we perceive in this world, I exist, you exist, and infinite number of things exist. They are all deriving their existence from pure being, pure Sat, and that was expounded in the sixth chapter. So that's why it is called Sadvidya. And here, same Brahmananda, Ananda means Brahmananda, is also being experienced not directly as myself, me being the Ananda Swarupa, but indirectly. I want to be happy, and so I eat palatable food. I think food is giving the happiness. But no, food acts like a mirror. So every form is a mirror, every sound is a mirror, every smell is a mirror, every touch is a mirror. So all the five sense organs, whatever, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, they're all mirrors. A mirror, as we know, doesn't have the object, but it can reflect the object. And we are mistaking what we are seeing in the mirror as our own selves. And that is what we are doing literally in this world. What do I mean? So we are all people, the whole universe as it were, has become a gigantic mirror. My neighbor is a mirror. My child, my son is a mirror. My mother is a mirror. So do they approve me? Are they happy to see me? So we are looking for their opinion. We are dependent upon their opinion. Foolish thought. Even they do not know who they are, much less they are capable of expressing, judging other people. A person who cannot judge, this is a very important rule. If I don't know who I am, I will never know who anybody else is. If I cannot judge myself objectively, I can never judge anybody else objectively. So we have to keep this in mind all the time. The whole world, what is fashion? Fashion is a mirror. How do the other person think about me, man or woman, even a dog? Yes, I love my dog. And the dog also loves you. How? How do you know? Because the moment it sees, it comes and licks your cheeks. And you think stupidly that the dog loves you. You don't understand. The dog is not loving you. The dog is expecting food from you. As in the wild, when its mother hunts and kills and eats and comes back home, by the time it reaches home, sometimes traveling 40, 50 miles or kilometers, then it half digests the food and it is exactly suited, like milk is suited to the babies. And then all the puppies, they rush and start licking the cheeks of the mother, and that provokes a harmonic reaction of vomiting that pre-digested food. And this is what your dog is doing exactly to you. Only thing is, You cannot digest even your own food, let other people's food. So, we are looking for happiness from the other people, and that is wrong. That is what this seventh chapter wants to prove very rationally. So, how to attain to that Bhuma or Brahmananda? Bhumananda, remember, is another name for Brahmananda. So, just merely wishing will not do. Profound psychological truth or truths have been exposed in the seventh chapter. I cannot tell you how much even I am learning from this seventh chapter psychologically. So, everything in this world is nothing but nama and rupa. Everything that has got a form, we give a specific name to identify it so that I can convey this is what I mean. You bring that particular object, small, big, round, square, whatever, high, low, etc. So, step by step, what is the point? Find out where you are. This is what Yatishamana Maharaj very often used to say. If you want to progress in any field of life, first you understand where you are standing. And from there, you map out how to progress further. That is what GPS or Guru Parampara system always guides us to that level. So there are 15 steps to reach that Bhumananda. And what does it do? It takes right from our ignorant state. And as Sri Ramakrishna says, what is ignorance? It is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance or avidya is not absence of knowledge, but it is very influential presence of wrong knowledge. That is called avidya. I know I am so and so. That is avidya. I know you also. That is avidya. I know many other things. That is all avidya. And avidya starts with a particular lowest step. And that step is called nama. So you see a tree. Oh, that is a tree. That is a name. The name is for specifying a particular thought. So that is the subject. But how did this nama come out? That is, how do we get names? Because if there is a name, and if nobody opens the mouth, we will not know what is it called. How do children, how do we, as babies, learn how to speak our language? You just try to learn a foreign language, German or English or whatever. You will understand how difficult it is. Why? Because previously, you have been inured, as it were, through your previous knowledge. Now, you have to forget those names. Your Hindi, your Bengali, your Telugu, everything you have to forget. But again and again, the old demons spring forward. So, how does a baby absorb so naturally, like a sponge? Because the brain is fresh. Mind is old, but brain is fresh. So this fresh brain, like a sponge, very soon, this is mama, this is papa, this is uncle, this is brother, this is sister, this is a dog, etc., etc. So whether perceptions or even conceptions, this is called fear, this is called joy, this is called unhappiness or suffering. Everything has a name. So the whole world is inundated with names. And another name for this profound ignorance, if you are very little ignorant, you are called ignorant person. If you are profoundly ignorant, you are called a scholar. This is how it goes, because you know only that one. Why am I saying that one? Because the very beginning of this chapter, that is how a great sage comes to another great sage, and he says that, I know I am a great scholar, but I am as foolish with regard to real knowledge as anybody else. I am no better than anybody else. So, this particular seventh chapter is dealing with Bhoma Vidya. What does it wants to teach? That our evolution starts from external happiness, and if we practice spiritual sadhana, then we will evolve, and as we evolve, we approach nearer and nearer to Atmananda, Brahmananda, herein called Bhumananda, and to evolve, we have to give up the lower, expand ourselves in the process. The more we expand, the more is the Ananda. That is, we become containers. But finally, the lesson we have to learn is, you are not getting happiness from outside. The whole outside or externality is only a mirror. Actually, you are seeing your own face, which means, I am Atmananda. So there is a Vishayananda, that means any happiness which is limited, which is changing, which is dependent upon an object being present under the right circumstances, that is called Vishayananda. But what is reality? It is we are only reflecting our own Ananda to a limited extent, and that is called Vishayananda. A Vishaya, every Vishaya, only reflects our own Ananda, depending upon the object. Say, for example, a small food material or a piece of dress reflects very little Ananda. But our chosen deity, Ishtadevata, or Saguna Brahma, reflects very greater happiness. But it is only, still there is a duality is there. But when I become one with my Ishta, that is called Brahman, then I realize that I am Sat Chit Ananda. Shivoham, Shivoham. So step by step, we have to progress. And which step we are, that depends upon our starting point. So we have to find out. How do I find out where I am standing right now? Impossible, as I said, for self-objectification, we need, just like to understand our psychological status, we have to pay money and then go to a psychiatrist, trained psychologist or psychiatrist, and he has been taught how to find out my psychological status. Such a person is called Guru or Bhavaroga Vaidya. This is a beautiful word because ignorance is compared to a disease. So, how much deeper is the disease and how long it has been, whether it has become chronic, etc., how deep it is, and then how to cure that person gradually, slowly, gradually, but surely. For that, Bhava Roga Vaidya. Vande Bhavesham Bhava Roga Vaidyam Tam Ramakrishnam Sirasa Namami. So like that, stage by stage, the Guru is necessary. In this seventh chapter, it is a dialogue. Just like Katha Upanishad is a dialogue, most of the Upanishads, all Upanishads, are dialogues between a realized soul and an aspiring sadhaka. So, this is a dialogue between Sanat Kumara and Narada. I want to give a small introduction about the Sanat Kumara. So, in our mythological lore, Pauranic lore, it is said that the Supreme Brahman, Saguna Brahma, has three functions: Srishti, Stiti, Laya, creation, sustenance, and dissolution. And the same Saguna Brahma, when he does creation, he is called Brahma, long oval. When he is maintaining, he is called Vishnu. And when he is dissolving us into the materials from which we have been made, that is called Shiva or Parameshwara, etc. So these are the three. Every action, all actions are only Srishti. Some action starts and it continues. It comes to an end. So not only Brahma is creating, Vishnu is maintaining, Shiva is dissolving every millisecond. Whatever actions we are doing, that is also every action has a point of time to start, and then it continues for some time, and then it disappears. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, like Brahma Chakra, this is called Brahma Chakra. It continues, it goes on and on and on. So, here also, we have to evolve. Evolution is always towards our own selves. Evolution means giving up our limitedness, gradually expanding ourselves. And every expansion includes what we have given up. A bigger thing includes a smaller thing, like a rupee. Many people give that example. It has got 16 anas. If you take paisa also, it will have 100 naya paisa. So it will, in the olden time, 16 anas, then 4 anas, then 8 anas, then 12 anas, then 1 rupee. So 1 rupee contains everything there. So this Purnam contains what is called segmented reality. Everything is a segmented reality. So what is evolution? Slowly attaining to that oneness, Purnam, infinity. And that is achieved only by gradually giving up our limitedness of time, space and object. Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda. And then the higher includes the lower. Finally, evolution ends when we understand we are the infinite, because there cannot be anything beyond the infinity. But this is not an intellectual exercise. Really, we have to identify ourselves with everything on the way. So, the story goes here, and the story is very illustrative of each one of our state. There was a great sage called Narada. And there are different Naradas are there. So, popularly, Narada is known as Kalaha Bhojana. His food is creating quarrels between people. No, Narada means, the highest definition given of Narada is Naram Dadati Iti Naradaha. Naram means knowledge. When he gives knowledge that you belong to God, you are God, and that knowledge, whoever gives, is called Narada. So, we can call our Guru also as Narada only, because Narada is a Guru. And Narada has been made a special instrument to propagate bhakti. Ramakrishna always teaches people, instructs people, Kali Kale Narada Bhakti. In this age of Kali, where people are identified so much with the body, especially body, and less with the mind, the only way, easiest way, most suitable way, is through the bhakti, as inculcated, shown by sage Narada. This Narada, you can say, was a Brahmagnani. Sri Ramakrishna says, after realization of God, this Narada saw the ocean of Satchidananda from a distance, and then he became the greatest devotee. Shukadeva saw it or touched it, not even drunk, and he became one of the greatest jnanis. Shiva just took 3 handfuls and drank, and he became intoxicated. This is what Sri Ramakrishna beautifully describes. So, Narada was one of the greatest devotees. God kept him with the ego of bhakti, so that he can be a teacher of bhakti. But how did he become a knower of Brahma? As I mentioned many times, in this very Chandogya, in the last chapter, that is next chapter, that is the 8th chapter, Indra and Virochana, they became what is called Brahma Vidyarthis, seekers of Brahman, and they approach Prajapati, which is another name for Brahma again. In Mundaka also, we get the name Brahma, because Brahma means Vedas. Brahma means knowledge, and every knowledge is included in the Vedas. That is why there is no Veda, there is no knowledge which is
left out by the Vedas, which we will not get anywhere outside. And a glimpse of it we get in this seventh chapter. So this Narada, even the quarrels that he creates, this Narada, will always bring only auspiciousness to the quarreling people. Their egotism is crushed. Their devotion increases. They become less egotistic, more humble. And the more humble a person, the nearer he approaches God or his own nature. So always Narada wants to help people. And if they don't listen in a nice manner, he will teach nevertheless the same lesson in an unpleasant manner, which is called quarrel. But he is the greatest devotee. And a devotee will always wish the welfare of the world only, not to speak of the greatest devotee. Anybody who becomes a devotee, he or she should wish only because he understands the other doesn't exist. I am the other. So he approaches, but what type of Narada was he? So the story goes, and every story is only a peg to hang the highest teaching, like Kathopanishad, the story of Vajrasrevasa and Nachiketa, and like that Mundakopanishad and every other Upanishad. Practically every Upanishad is a teaching, and teaching means there must be a teacher and a taught. Without that, teaching cannot progress. So this Narada approached Sanat Kumara, and then he simply said, Adhihi Bhagavo Brahmeti. Teach me about Brahman. Guru said, Bah, you have not told me what you know so far. So you must be knowing something, even to wish something. So nobody can go, even a child can, Ma, I want to eat a sweet. But the child must have eaten the sweet before. He liked it very much. It made him a happy baby, and he has a longing to become happier again. So he wants to think that I have to eat, then I will be a happy person. That means what? He must have knowledge. So this Narada was not an ordinary person. If he is wanting, I want to attain Brahman, he must have known about Brahman. He must have faith that it is attainable. He must have faith that that is the goal of life. He must have been sure that there have been people to prove that it is possible. All these are implied, and then only he also knows how to approach. Because the very story tells us how he approached Sanat Kumara. Just like in the Mundaka Upanishad, we say, Samit Pani. The Sishya approaches with Samit Pani. That is a bundle of firewood on his head. And we discussed that symbology. That means what? I am ready to burn all my pre-existing vasanas. So externally it means firewood. The guru perhaps does some yajnas and yagas. But a Brahma jnani, he need not do any more yajnas and yagas. Because the purpose of doing the very yajnas and yagas is to progress, to evolve. But since he has reached Brahman, there is nothing more to do. He doesn't need all those things. That is why karma kanda is necessary only as a preparation. Once a person attains the highest result of karma kanda, he need not bother about it. He must straightway enter into what is called jnana kanda. In his introduction to the Brahma Sutras and Shankaracharya, about 1.5 page introduction he writes. So that is a introduction, what is called Adhyasa Bhashya, a beautiful commentary on superimposition, or you can say avidya. And then only he goes into the Brahma Sutra. The very first sutra in this Brahma Sutra, Atha Ataha Brahma Vignasa. Atha, therefore, Ataha. So I have completed all the things. Now I have to enter into an inquiry into what is the nature of Brahman, how to attain Brahman, more important. So the Purva Pakshi or the opposition raises a question. So, Atha here doesn't mean Brahma, it means Dharma Shastra. Then Shankara gives a beautiful answer there. He says, this person has practiced Karma Kanda, had reached the end of Karma Kanda, has gone beyond the need for Karma Kanda, like as soon as a child, he requires the help of an apple and other objects to identify the alphabet A, B, etc. And then only he can progress. But as soon as he masters that one, he doesn't need all these small representations made up of wax, apple, etc. So he can start reading the books. Like that, a person who has already gone through this Karma Kanda, only for him, the desire for Brahma Jnana will come. So Brahma Jigyasa cannot be desired by a person who is still in the Karma Kanda status or level. Because what is Karma Kanda? One who is full of anatma desires. That is, apara, this world. I want to go to Swargaloka, Indraloka, Goloka, and then Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, etc. For him only, Karma Kanda is necessary. Because there is a invariable relationship between kama and karma. Avidya means ignorance, makes one feel I lack everything. And I must make myself devoid of lacking. And that is called desire. And desire propels a person into action. Action brings the result which will satisfy, but it can increase the thirst, tanha, more and more. But a person who says that I have experienced these things and I know the worth of them, they are worthless. What is the worth of worldly objects? Worthless. Then only tatah kim. What then? Then only his mind turns towards Brahman. So this Narada was an embodiment in what is called a walking encyclopedia, which we will see in the very first section. And this seventh chapter has got 26 sections. Earlier, in the sixth one, we have seen 16 chapters. And this has got 26 sections. But don't worry, sometimes the mantras are very, very small mantras. So, what is meant? This Narada, he became restless. Why did he become restless? Because he wants to realize Brahman. Why does he want to realize Brahman? Because he has no worldly desires. And who can have no desire for worldly objects? One who had already experienced and one who understood the nature of. So you may, I and you may experience a sweet for a billion times. But until I realize that this is worthless in nature because this enslaves me and it doesn't give me anything new, so I want to get out of this bondage. Only then I am a real wise person. Until that time, even if I know this is a small object and this is its nature, but I desire it again and again and again and again, that is not knowledge. Such a person, if he is skillful in obtaining things, he is called a pandita. And if he is not skillful, he is called a pamara or an ignorant person. That is all the difference. Narada, he has gone beyond. He stood back. I know everything. I experienced everything. I enjoyed everything. What did I get? Did I get ananda? No. I got temporary pleasure. Don't make any mistake that there is no temporary pleasure. Pleasure, but pleasure always comes with pain. Sukha, dukkha, they alternate all the time. So, I experienced everything. That's what Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that unless a person goes from the jamedar to jamindar, jamedar means a lavatory cleaner, and jamindar means a landlord or a king, one cannot turn towards God. Because the curiosity will be there. If I become a president of a nation, or a prime minister of a nation, or if a king, an emperor, Then what do you get? Same food. Here is a psychological fact beautifully illustrated, that supposing there is a poor man at noon, 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, after hard work, he becomes ravenously hungry. And there is another rich man. He is in a air-conditioned room and he is sitting there whole day talking to people, managing business, etc. Do you think he will become hungry with that? No. And both of them are served food. And most likely, the poor person is to enjoy it much more, because the happiness of enjoyment doesn't come from the object. It comes how much we are in need of that object. If I am very thirsty, even ordinary water will taste like nectar. And if I am not thirsty, even best ice cream also only ends in scream. So, people cannot understand these simple psychological truths, nor the understood. All this knowledge is worthless. We will come what Sri Ramakrishna has to say about these things later on. But this is the story. And then he approached his guru in the proper way. That is, he is ready. First of all, he has faith. This teacher can take me across the bondage of this world. He can enlighten me first, because he is a realized soul. He is an authentic person. Secondly, he loves me and he teaches me not with any motivation, but purely for my own good. Because every realized soul, he looks upon every other thing as his own self. So, this is the faith of the disciple. And he surrenders himself completely. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Pranipata means complete self-surrender. Then, pariprashnena. He has to ask the question. Sevaya. So, Narada simply did not come, knock at the door, entered into this. And then Sanat Kumara, he met Sanat Kumara and then said, sir, please teach me Brahma Vidya. This is only to be brief, but so many steps have been eliminated in the meanwhile. He must have come, he must have stayed, he must have observed, he must have practiced Brahmacharya or Tapasya. And then the teacher said that first thing is Sharanagati. Second thing is, he pleased the Guru with so much of seva. And then only pariprashnena, appropriate questions. That is very important. A right disciple never wastes either his time or other person's time only with useless questions. Just like many people come and we see, even in the lives of direct disciples. One person, I was reading the life of Swami Adbhutanandaji as we saw him, memoirs of Swami Adbhutananda. One person came and asks, what is the difference between Bhava Samadhi and Chetana Samadhi? And then, of course, patiently, Swami Adbhutanandaji answers everything. But the point is, can you concentrate your mind for at least 2 minutes on any subject? If you are not able to do it, your question is like a child who doesn't know how to add 2 plus 2, wants to meet Einstein and ask his general theory of relativity. It will be foolish like that. No. So, the appropriate questions. And how can a person ask? Because he must be aware, this is where I am now and I need to go move forward. And what is the way to move forward? We have seen in the last 6th chapter, the person was brought from Gandhara Desha. It is to illustrate the necessity of a guru. What is the right question? I am blindfolded. I don't know where I am, but I know where from I have come, and please guide me to reach my own place. The person is not completely ignorant. He is ignorant of the strange country. Samsar videshe, videshir veshe, brahmo kyano akarane. So much meaning is there in that. So Narada, he approached at the right time when the teacher is very receptive, very pleased, ready to answer his questions. Pariprashna, he said, that teach me. But then teacher, he asked in his turn, you did not tell me what you have learned so far, where you are. Let me first find out where you are, then only I can guide you further. And then, you know what Narada answers? I read all the Vedas. That means I read all the Upanishads. That means I have studied Chandogya Upanishad. And I don't know who was that Narada, who was the Sanat Kumara, whom this Narada had read about. Because this story comes in the Chandogya 7th chapter. So, I read this. Not only that, I am aware of 60, according to Indian tradition, 6 Chatushashti Vidyas are there, 64 Kalas are there. I know everything about material science, I know everything about the aesthetic science, music, etc. I know how to predict the future, I know what treasures are to be found without digging. All those big list we are going to come probably tomorrow. And then Sanat Kumara asked him that you know so much, then why did you come to me? Because maybe I myself don't know what you know. Then Narada says, no, these are all information only. I am like a AI. So you feed all the Vedas. It becomes like Narada. You feed all the sciences to AI machine, ChatGPT, and it digests everything. It gives correct answers also. It does so many things. What is it? Only a machine. So like that, I am only Kharaschandana Bharavahi Bharasya Veta Natu Chandanasya. There is a Sanskrit saying, I am only a donkey carrying a bundle of sandalwood. I am completely ignorant about the fine fragrance that comes out of the sandalwood. Bharasya Veta. I know only how much weight is there. Natu Chandanasya. I know nothing about the sandalwood. So that is the condition. That is my condition, Narada says. This is all information. Only words and words and words and words. Every great pundit, he knows how to quote and he can argue for hours together, days together. But does he know the meaning of it? That is the important thing. What does it mean? Even to know the meaning, it is an intellectual process. It is nothing. But what it means is, has your life become transformed by this information? That's a very important point. So Narada's life, he knew that he is an ignorant person. Exactly like Socrates. As you know, Socrates was declared by the Delphi oracle, you are the wisest person in this whole world. And being a wise person, he questioned himself, am I really the wise person? People like us, we would be very happy. Oh, he declared, I am the wisest person. Oh, even this oracle recognizes that I am the wisest person. Not only I am thinking myself, I am the wisest fellow. I gave certificate to myself. But even there is somebody to support me. So, Socrates, the story goes, he knew many people who knew more than what he knows. So, he goes and interviews all of them, comes back, and then he certifies himself. Now, I know why I am the wisest person, as the Delphi Oracle declared. Why are you, sir, the wisest person? And then he answers himself, I am the wisest person because I know that I am an ignorant person. Whereas the other wise persons I met, they concurred with me and say, yes, yes, you are right. We are all very wise people. So to know that I do not know is the beginning of wisdom. Then only the inquiry will come. Since I know definitely I do not know, then I want to know. So what is meant is that this books and books, AI, artificial intelligence, is the greatest example we can give today. Google, you search Google, much information will come. And many professors, they write books also and they get PhD degrees also. Do they know what they are writing about. They are only gatherers of information, not really the truth. And then how do we know? That he says that I am very much grieving. I am a grieving person. I am a ignorant person. Who grieves? Only a ignorant person grieves. A wise person never grieves. That is how Bhagavad Gita starts in the 11th shloka of the second chapter. That the very first thing he says is that a pandita is one. So he never grieves, neither for the living nor for the dead. Why? Because he knows the truth. There is no living, no dead. Everything is the Atman. Ashochyan anvashochastvam prajna vadamscha bhashase gatasum agatasumscha nanushochanti panditaha. A wise man is one who is immersed in Atmananda. Nanushochanti means they do not grieve. Who do not grieve? It is not a neutral condition. I am neither happy nor unhappy. But they're positively they are experiencing Brahmanandam. That is the truth about it. So this is how the whole thing beautifully it goes. So this 7th chapter is about Bhumananda. And Narada approached Sanat Kumara. That means none of us can dare presume that by reading books we are going to get a guru, a teacher is absolutely necessary, and we have to surrender to him, and then we have to accept his words as Veda, and then we have to put practice, and we have to prove that our guru is a wise man, not by saying he is a wise man, but by experiencing in one's own life that transformation. That is the only proof whether my guru is great or not. So, this very introduction story, then Narada says, asked by his guru, what do you know so far? I know so many things. But then why did you come? Because aham shochami and bhavan mam. So, you take me out of this ocean of suffering. Tarayitum. Bhavan tarayitum. May you rescue me, take me out. How? By make me realize that I am not Narada, I am not a human being, I am not the body mind, but I am Brahman. That is the only way, there is no other way. And then Sanat Kumara begins his teaching, what you yourself, O Narada, have expressed just now, everything is information, but it is not wisdom. But then Sanat Kumara adds an addenda. What does he say? But information is the very first step. Without information, another name for information is nama. Without this nama, nobody can progress even one single millimeter. About this subject, we will talk tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.